Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
I don't want to live a life safe way because you just don't grow, you don't improve, you don't get better, you don't challenge yourself. And I think that's what's happened for the past year. It's easier to make a safe choice because you know what's going to work.
The bows are getting back.
And we have a podcast.
Part of that success is being open books.
I think it would be amazing to do a comeback.
It's so good though.
Like, this is so good. Like, I want to do this all the time now.
And now, coming to the mic, Nikki and Brie Bella. This is the Bella's Podcast.
All right, everyone. So we're back. And today we're going to be opening up with something a little different.
Oh, yes.
Because we have a very special guest today. I actually share a bed with him. Well, hopefully every night for a little bit longer, but we're going to have some coffee because Artem's obsessed with coffee. I feel like right now it's too early in the morning to pop open a bottle of champagne or wine.
And let's be honest, always after Thanksgiving, I feel like everyone overconsumes on the wine and the alcohol and the food.
My tongue's a bit swollen. My palate is a little exhausted.
My body is swollen. I won't even get on the scale because I can't stop eating leftovers.
So Brie won't get on the scale, but I did the scale every morning so far.
Well, why do you do that to yourself? I feel like you're torturing yourself.
Because I've actually been proud. This has been the least amount of weight I have gained on a Thanksgiving week.
What are you? You gained 2 pounds?
I've gained 2 pounds, but this was my thing I told myself. Eat as much as you want before a certain time and then just stop eating. And then I would have like crazy sweats through the night and I was like, oh, cool. I maybe, you know, sweat it out half a pound.
Yeah.
I mean, this is such crazy talk, but this is what my brain will process.
Well, it's funny because every year for Thanksgiving, I wake up Thanksgiving morning and I say, Brie, what do we want to feel like tomorrow? So let's be mindful. And yeah. I start mindful. And then I think what really gets me is I'm full, but I haven't had a dessert yet.
Yeah.
So I should stop eating after the dinner part, but then everyone busts out the pies and the pumpkin cake and the ice cream. And then that's what makes me feel awful.
Right. But this is what I tell myself. This is one holiday we celebrate once a year, right? Time for family and friends and overindulging and dishes that you and I were talking about this, and we'll get into our Bella family Thanksgiving traditions, but it's the one year that we get these certain dishes, certain types of desserts. And so I feel like it's good to overindulge, even though I feel completely lethargic and sluggish and tired.
Yeah. I guess I feel like it's really never a good time, but there is something special about it because Nikki and I cook all the food.
We kicked ass. Let's just say we kicked ass Thursday. We're very proud.
And it's food that we only do make once a year. Yes. So you're right. There's something special about it. But so Nikki and I wake up because she's staying with me up here in the mountains. So we started cooking at 7:30 and it was cute because Birdie wanted to help.
Oh my gosh, you guys. Every dish we started to prepare, she was like, Mommy, I want to help. Dodo, what can I do? And yeah, she wanted to be so hands-on. And she grabbed her stool from her bedroom.
She did.
Brought it in the kitchen. So, and that's how she asked us to help the first time. And it was so adorable.
And like, as a mom, I'll say, she's 4 and a half. So she can't really help out a lot. Sometimes it's a little more stressful. And I kept telling myself, like, don't get stressed, Brie. They make more of a mess.
Right.
It also goes a lot slower. Yeah. And they want to do things that they're really not capable of doing. But this is too cute. And it's a holiday. So like, you want to enjoy it.
Yeah.
You could tell Nicole, I was kept counting to like 100.
Yeah.
Like
Brie, I could Brie. See the irritation in her eyes.
Patience.
And you just have to remind yourself that this is a holiday. So it's meant spending time with family and having fun and creating memories and moments.
Exactly. But can we talk about another frustrating moment?
Oh gosh.
My mother. So my mom always makes this pretzel jello salad. And my brother's obsessed with it. And he only eats it at Thanksgiving. So I'm like, I have to make it. So my mom sends me the ingredients and instructions. So I go and get everything. And I'm starting to make it. I'm reading these instructions. Because like, we all know, I'm like Chef Brie. I can read instructions and like knock it out of the park. And I'm reading this and I'm like, what is this? And it reminded me of the scene from Schitt's Creek where David is making his mother, Maura's...
One of the best scenes ever. The whole series.
Recipe. And then he's like, she's like, just fold...
Fold the cheese. Or he's like, what does that mean? As she's like, handing him grated cheese.
Fold it like a piece of paper. And she's like, no, David, you know, fold it. Like, she didn't know. And I call my mother, but I'm like reading these instructions as if I felt like David, like, this is your recipe. Like, how do we do it? I'm like, don't make me fail at Thanksgiving.
The best is she goes to Brie and she goes, I don't know, just like Google it.
Yeah.
And we looked at each other and we go, wait.
This isn't mom, like a special recipe?
This isn't a special mom recipe that was like been handed down for generations. We got like so like defeated feeling and sad. I was like, I really thought this was like a secret.
I literally was like.
It's on Google.
Yeah. When she said Google it, I was thinking
but
to myself
she's
like,
been making it, I feel like, before Google was even around.
I thought so. But then it turned into me Googling, which I did, and I found the pretzel jello.
You found out that you forgot the frozen raspberries, Brie.
Yeah, thank goodness Rayleigh's was still open. But I will say, even though I feel like everyone has those little hiccups and those little, you know, spots during cooking that make you feel like you're about to fail Thanksgiving, in the end, it was spectacular.
Brie and I made amazing dishes and they looked beautiful. They didn't look like a hot mess.
They didn't.
Brian ended up making it. Brian's flight kept getting delayed. Oh. And then he arrived right when we were serving dinner. We pushed it back because, of course, we weren't going to say grace without him and eat without him. But Brie and I just high-fived each other and we're like, not only did we get these dishes done and they look good, and thank goodness they tasted amazing, but we were able to get ourselves ready.
Oh, yeah.
Still had
we
the
took
babies.
Showers,
we showered. We washed our
took
hair.
Took everyone to the park.
We
to
went
around.
To the park.
But our dishes, we made broccoli salad, cheese rice, pretzel jello salad. I made pumpkin cake,
turkey.
We made stuffing. We made mashed potatoes.
Artem. Artem did his iconic mashed potatoes that are just
so
unreal. So good.
And my gosh, we had cranberry sauce. So we did a lot.
Yeah. And we said that this is going to be a new tradition for our families where we want every Thanksgiving, we come up to the mountains because there's something special about having Thanksgiving in the mountains.
It's really cold. The smell of the trees, yeah. The fireplace on, the whole house smells like food, but mixed in with
It'd be
that.
All warm and cozy and go on your walk.
Yeah. And then Brian was a total holiday story where it was kind of like, oh no, I'm going to miss it. And like, he's running through the airports, trying to get home. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And he came in like right on time.
He came literally right as we set everything
out. We all like
out.
Were going, yay.
And yeah. It just
was perfect.
It was perfect.
I love it.
I know. It was actually nice.
And it was nice, like, everyone, like, eating all the dishes and just, like, oh, my gosh. Like, yeah. Giving you all those. Like, I felt so
you
accomplished.
Felt good, right?
I was like, yeah, I'm going to cook more.
I mean, everyone ate them all
probably
Friday.
Not,
I mean, the leftovers went.
And I have to say, our leftovers on Friday, because then Brian's family all came in town, and it's been so fun. It literally feels like Christmas. We put out, Brie and I put everything out again. And it was like we had a second Thanksgiving and we are
and
so happy.
And everyone loved it.
And we actually now have no leftovers. Like literally every dish got eaten. And that made me really happy. There was no waste.
Which is such a good feeling.
Yeah. And now we know like the perfect amounts for every year now.
And Nicole and I were saying next year, we don't want anyone to be in the kitchen with us. I think what was nice is there wasn't, it was
that
just
everyone
you and
did
I.
Go hike
everyone,
and work out and do yep, things.
Everyone was out of the house. It made you and I yep. and our PJs just.
We just had the babies.
Calmly do it.
Yeah. Babies and Bird.
Yes.
That's true.
Well, it's cute, you guys, because I go to Bird. I'm like, Bird, would you like to say grace? And she looked at everyone and goes, grace.
Oh, my God. That was so cute.
And
with a big smile on her face. And I'm like, but I mean, that's right. Brie just said, say grace. And she's like, grace.
Yeah, because I thought to myself, like, oh, I always tell her to say your prayers. So I guess I never do say grace to her. So she probably had no idea what I was talking about.
So real quick, who do you think the MVP of Thanksgiving was? You or me?
Oh, for sure me.
What?
Because I also had to make Brian's family recipe of the pumpkin cake, which was my first time. You stirred, okay. You did. But it was stressful for me because I know that's one thing Brian looks forward to. JJ was looking forward to the pretzel jello, which I was in charge of. So I feel like under a lot of pressure and stress, I did it.
Okay. And then my argument to that is I never really cook and then I did a really good job. But because you did make a really good pretzel jello salad and had to deal with a lot of frustration, I'll give you the MVP.
Thank you.
And then the MVP of my heart, I think we need to bring him on.
Yes.
Because he made Thanksgiving very special. And I'm just so happy to have him home. 12 weeks gone, which we need to get all the tea about that. But
I think it's awesome. And I think it's cool too for Artem to like go from the Dancing with the Stars season finale to come straight here to Tahoe.
Yeah.
Like that was kind of cool too. It was like special. Everyone wraps everything up and then they get to come and
just enjoy. And yeah, seriously. All right. We'll take a quick break and then we'll come back with Artem. I know you all missed that.
Welcome to a special segment brought to you by Xfinity. Nikki and I juggle a lot of different roles, being moms, wives, sisters, TV personalities, podcast hosts, partners in wine, so that means our days are very chaotic. I love being a mom first, but I have to say, I've never wanted to really sacrifice my career, and that's why we partnered up with Xfinity. Get a powerful connection that works throughout your home with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi. Whether I'm on a video call for work, I don't have to worry about them dropping. Or if I'm watching cooking videos to make something fun for the kids, and I feel like I've been able to be this hands-on mom, work from home, I feel like I can just balance everything, as long as I have some reliable internet. Today, I was able to make my kids some breakfast, but before I took them to school, I had to jump on a video call. Head to my office, boom, I sit on the desk, and next thing you know, I'm in a meeting with people in England, and I'm going over a presentation with people in New York. The one thing I have to say that Xfinity has given me is peace of mind. I feel like Xfinity has literally made my household run very nicely, very calmly, and I am so blessed for them. That wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity has allowed me to do so much of my day. Reliable internet isn't just a luxury for us, it's a must. With wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity, you worry less about dead spots because let's be honest, they're the worst. Huge thank you to Xfinity for supporting the show. Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With reliable coverage on all your devices, home just got even sweeter with Xfinity. Learn more at Xfinity.com.
When it comes to decorating my home, I like coziness. I like the boho feel. I want it to be light and airy. Pretty much when you walk into my door, I want you to feel that you are truly at home and you have that warm and fuzzy feeling. So, do you want to know something we've all got in common? Here it is. We all want our home to be our happy place, somewhere where we actually look forward to coming home to. Why not make your home your happy place with Wayfair and become a happy new resident of the Wayborhood? Wayfair welcomes all home decorating styles so they make it easy to find the perfect product for your home no matter your taste. Plus, the Wayborhood exists in every single zip code because Wayfair helps everyone create a home they love, no matter where they live. Wayfair is the go-to destination for everything home. And with plenty of styles to choose from, Wayfair also makes it easy with fast and free shipping. They'll even help you set up what you get. I have to tell you, one thing I love about Wayfair is their rugs. And this spring, I am getting some new rugs. What I love about Wayfair is that you can literally search the color of rug you'd like, the size, the shape. They even have a diagram of how it would look in your house. Wayfair makes the shopping experience so easy, so quick. A couple little clicks, and before you know it, you have a brand new rug that is on your way to your house. Plus, shipping is pretty incredible. I don't have to wait months for a rug. When I want it, it comes pretty quickly. I love that. Thank you, Wayfair, for making it easy and affordable. So to find your own happy place in the Wayborhood, just visit Wayfair on their website or go through the Wayfair mobile app. Wayfair, every style, every home.
Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more.
Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come.
Wow, that is so cool. I feel like there's so many times I drive around and I always look and I'm like, oh my gosh, if that was just a park for kids to be at. One thing I find as a mom that is so healthy for my children mentally and physically is places for them to run around that feel safe, that you have community. I also feel like it's a great place for kids to be social. So I find it absolutely incredible that Macy's is going the extra yard to really help the emotional and physical well-being of children.
Donate online or in-store and learn more at macys.com/purpose. All right, everyone. I feel like it's been a long time, right? But welcome back to the show, finally. Artem.
Hey. It's nice to be back.
Is it nice to be back? So what's up? You didn't show up with the Mirrorball trophy?
That's an awful thing to even say when I just show
up. Awful.
I'm just kidding.
First of all, let me remind you, what happened to my Mirrorball trophy?
Yeah.
Mateo smashed it.
Who was responsible to giving it to Mateo in the first place?
Well, I wanted, you know, on the season premiere to do something really cute and set Mateo by the trophy and take a cute photo. And then he looks at the Dancing with the Stars part on the mirror ball and it starts to pull at it. But who would think a baby could break that? And then he just tears it apart. And I'm like, oh my gosh. But I realized it was like all put together with like gold plated toothpicks.
That's crazy. That's interesting.
Very. But the big question is, in the video she says, I'll fix that.
And now and she hasn't. Fixed.
No, I like just shoved super it in glue. The closet.
Don't you have super glue at home? I always keep it around because the kids break
look
everything.
I looked at it and I was like, you know, this is like too many pieces. I'm just going to have to fix it when he gets home.
Got it.
Team Artem.
That's why I didn't bring another mirror bowl. That's the reason why there was no other
mirror bowl. I wanted you to get another one so we could replace it, but that's okay. But Artem, we definitely want to, of course, all of our listeners want to hear about this season. And I do want to say that you and Melora did do incredible.
Amazing
dude, did you
job.
See her abs on the season finale? I mean, she looks amazing, but you guys killed it. I mean, you guys had really amazing dances. Your choreography was on point.
Thank you.
What?
No, nothing.
Why are you looking at me like that?
No, you're saying
talk about
nice
the season.
Things. What would you like to know about the season, actually, because it's been long.
Well, give us the concept.
13 week of training and performing every single Monday night. So I think what people don't realize how much work gets into the show. I mean, you literally
train
every single day. You do, but also the differences in pandemic was it is a little different because you have to like isolate yourself from everyone else. And it's like you almost seem like in one bubble and it's just a constant, the same thing over and over and over and over.
But I agree with you, Artem. I think the listeners don't understand because it is pretty surreal how quickly you have to put a dance together and get it approved and then get your partner ready for actual live TV.
So in reality, what we have, we train for probably about 5 days straight and we don't have days off. But I think the hardest part, so I don't know if you aware what wide means, but wide, it's when you actually shoot your routine from the beginning to an end so the director can see it and try to like script it, how to shoot your routine. So what happened is that we have to turn in whites on Wednesday. So imagine this. Monday, we have a show. On Tuesday, we have a 1 day of rehearsal, which is mainly you have to do like a video package about how the Monday went. So that's scratch another 2 hours of the rehearsal already. So you have a 1 hour training and the next day you have to do a wide. So imagine,
towards the end of the rehearsal.
Now, would Melora have to do the wide with you or would you use another
You have to do with your celebrity.
Oh my
gosh. So you have to teach them in 4 hours the routine they're actually seeing on Monday night. So obviously it's not going to look like on Monday night because you train for the rest of the week and making it better. But the whole point of it is like you struggling because you're trying to figure it out the steps and some steps work, some steps doesn't work. And then you have to shoot that wide. So the amount of pressure pros get on the show for that Wednesday is legit. You come in just like, let's just get through the whites. Like, let's just get it done so we can continue moving and improving the routine. So I think that was the hardest part this season is Wednesday. Wednesdays was just like not a fun days.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy.
I know.
when you do watch Dancing with the Stars and you see all of your performances, I feel like sometimes, and maybe I'm wrong, that the pros don't get enough credit because it is pretty crazy. You're teaching someone who doesn't know how to dance.
Right.
And then you have to put the choreography together. Like sometimes I don't know why I used to think watching Dance with the Stars, someone gave you the choreography. I didn't realize you have to sit there and hear the song and you're like, you are them are thinking, well, how do I make this like a dance from Laura and I? That's like a lot. And then that's only a couple of days then to put it all together.
And they're not picking the song. So it's a celebrity kind of dance, right?
So what happened is that the producer is trying to fit the song what matches the celebrity, not necessarily what professional partner wants to dance to or what fits better the actually dance style, because they have a bigger picture of things. First of all, if there's 15 couples, there's going to be 15 songs. They all can't be the same. They all have to be different. And yeah, you're under a lot of pressure to do that too, because audience been watching the show for 30 seasons, and obviously you can't do the same things for 30 seasons. You have to come up with something different and new. And you're just like, okay, what have I done and what I haven't done yet? So in this, I think it becomes like this picking out of the hat, what works best, what doesn't work. And then you're also under the pressure because you don't know if your celebrity be able to do things that you want to do versus what you would like to do, you know?
Yeah.
So I think mixture of those things does become like big headache, and you live with that headache at least till Friday. Because once Friday everything is done, you can just, okay, now I can just dance the dance and kind of relax until next Monday. So, yeah. I mean, it's you go to bed by thinking what I'm doing, what am I teaching, what I'm choreographing, and you wake up with exactly the same thought. So after 13 weeks, like you become so exhausted mentally. Don't get me wrong, it's a super rewarding doing a Monday night and people watching and appreciate it and judges scoring and you get the reward. But at the same time, it's a long time coming to get that reward. And sometimes you don't even get it. Sometimes judges say, yeah, it was okay.
Yeah.
So you go like, oh, I spent all this time trying to make it look good.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, well, okay, well, let's move on to the next week, hopefully.
So I have a question. Who would have been like your vote? Who would have won the mirror ball this season? Anyone? And even if it's you,
I actually said from the very first week, I thought they're actually going to be Jimmy.
Yeah.
To me,
Jimmy and Emma were amazing.
He was
a lot of chemistry too.
An incredible dancer. He was very real. I don't know, it's just their personalities, like both of them, they just match so well. Like they really play off each other quite well.
Yeah.
So to me, they were a winner from the beginning. So when they actually got eliminated, I was very shocked. Because it's like, how is that even possible? Because they got like bad scores that week, which I also think Jimmy did not deserve. I think he deserved much higher scores than 8 that week. So I don't know. I mean, it's really hard to predict, as you can see, what the result was.
Well, because at the end of it, it comes to who's voting for you too. So, I'm shocked he's so over in country music that he wasn't getting more votes. But I guess that's what in the end sent him home. Brie,
right.
Who is your vote?
I don't know.
And do you think I'm on, or do you think?
I mean, I'll be honest. The one thing I do like when I see some people with no experience, and you see the growth, I feel like that's kind of the point of a competition show, because you definitely see some people who come on and you're like, okay, well, dancing's in their background. So even the way they put their hands or do something, you're like, okay, they know.
And even when to remember 8 counts and perform it. Like when you're an athlete and you've never done that, it's so hard.
Oh, and then the music. So when you learn it and then all of a sudden they put the music to it, your mind's blown.
Especially because as athletes don't go out to choreography. Like we don't know what the basketball game is going to be or the football game or the wrestling match.
Right.
We just go out there and do what we have to do.
And how tall is he? He's like 6'6", right? 6'5"?
Huiman? Yeah. I don't know. Very, very tall, especially compared to Daniela. She's like half his height.
And that has to be a struggle, you know, to dance that tall. And I'm sure his feet are really big, right?
I mean, there's advantage and disadvantage in that. You know, like because he's so tall, he'd be able to pick her up and spin and turn and like throw her in the air, which is actually
cool tricks.
What made him stand out the most is because he did lifts that were quite impressive.
Yeah.
And I think that's the reason why people's like, oh, wow, he's so good. So I think it's a combination of like doing incredible lifts. And I think as well, his facial expressions, how much he enjoyed doing it. I think that really put it into perspective, like, wow, he's doing so much better. In reality, when you watch him actually dance steps, there was not a lot of routine. We actually did a lot of dancing.
Okay.
You know, he sells the move. He had the swag. He really performed well. And I mean, when he had the dancing combination, he did really well. But majority of the time when you watch his routines, they had a lot of lifts.
Yeah.
And lifts are very hard to do. Don't get me wrong. It's not like it's
right.
You can't appreciate because they're very extraordinary when you look at it, you know? And I think also the audience, like Dancing with the Stars audience, like get impressed with that.
Totally.
You know? So I think it's that combination that put him kind of like above everyone else.
And his packages. He was so likable. Mom
really
and I
was.
Talked about him every week. You just fell
he
in love with
open.
Him. When you he was so real. You fell in love with him more and more every week. Sometimes for me, when I see people's packages, they're trying so hard for the viewers to like him. Like, I'm gonna nonstop talk about my kids, or I'm gonna just talk about this because I think that's what the viewers want. And I'm always just real. And I think that's what made you love him.
I
he was
agree.
Just so effortlessly cool. Where other people, it's like you just see right through it when they're trying so hard. And then when they're trying to push a story or they're trying to push this, and you start to see when people start to become unlikable and then people that become likable.
Well, that's why I really like JoJo. To be honest, I thought JoJo was going to win because she has a massive fan base. What her and Jenna did was something historic. It was different. And I liked how she opened up because she's like a huge child star. Like, I mean, she still kind of is a child, but I think her whole story, it was really cool to hear it first kind of on Dancing with the Stars, like her real feelings and stuff she's kind of had to hide.
Yeah.
I thought she was going to win.
I thought it was definitely between her and Amon. I did my 10 votes, I did 5 for JoJo and I did 5 for Amon.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, I shared. So, but okay, enough about dancing. We got to get more about Artem. I will admit that I was very happy when dancing ended. And
I know Mateo
felt the same because when Artem walked through the door, Mateo at first was shocked because he couldn't believe he was seeing Daddy in person instead of FaceTime. And then he was so happy. And
he
has been attached to Artem ever since, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, he was. It was actually very surprising because Nicole visited me with Mateo in LA. He was really kind of like taking
He didn't want to have anything
bit.
To do with
he,
Artem.
He didn't want to like hug me or... It took him like a second to kind of warm up, you know? And when I came back from the show... He was just like a different. He was like, oh, Dada, hug me and like hold me and like let me show you my room and let me show you my toys and play around. He's like love like grabbing the fingers and just like take your fingers and point at things and like walk you everywhere. It was very special.
Well, and I feel it's because Mateo knew Daddy was home. See, when we were in LA, we were in a place Mateo was not familiar with and his dad's there. So he's like, wait, I don't see him at home, but now he's here. And I think he was just like, I'm going to ignore him. I'm mad at him. But when he knew he was home, he just was like, you're not leaving.
Right.
And now he has to go do the tour. It's going to be very hard.
Life of entertainment. It's tough.
I guess so.
It is.
I mean, I think it's actually, you know, I think it's very fortunate. Nowadays, you know, we have a steady work and steady job that actually provides and gives an opportunity, you know, to have a better life and just provide in general. Because I think a lot of people still till nowadays try to find a job that they love. So I think it's very fortunate to have that because, again, entertainment business is not the type of business that lasts forever, right? So having an opportunity to go, and this is probably will be my last tour, you know, I never say never because you never know what the life's going to turn out like and what it's going to be. But I think it's important to take everything in right now, especially right now when Mateo is not actually speaking and it's not having
Well, he's
as
still
much.
Developing and
no,
learning
for sure.
And has feelings.
100%. But I think if you're going to miss time and miss like 11 weeks of his life, it's better to do it now than do it when he's 2 years old, when he literally says, Daddy, come home. You know, when he actually verbally says, I think it's going to be really hard.
Well,
and I think
next
that's
season
when,
you're going to miss because he'll be in school.
Right.
I mean,
no, I know. I'm saying like traveling for 11 weeks and not be able to be there.
Yeah.
You know?
And Birdie's been used to Brian, you know, being on the road. It's all Birdie's ever known since he's been born. And it is harder on Brian now that she's 4 and a half and she's like, I don't want you to go on the road, Dada. But she's also used to it. She knows that's what he does.
Right.
And like we always say, well, Bird, everything we have is because Dada works so hard and she knows that. And I just think Mateo will be used to it. It's all he'll know.
Yeah, I think though what's harder with what Artem does than Brian is Brian comes home every week for a few days, where Artem leaves literally 12 weeks straight, and now he'll only be home for 2 weeks total, maybe 2 and a half, and then he's off for a few weeks for rehearsals, comes back home for a week, and then is gone for 11 weeks straight. So, you have to understand, like, he's engaged to someone who also is in the entertainment industry and who also has a career. And you know, that's, I think, where Artemis and I's issues happen, and we're in therapy for it. But like, it's because then I have to put everything on pause for me to make sure that, you know, there's a parent there 24/7 for Mateo. Mm-hmm. And even though I brought him to set for AGT Extreme and he'll come back with me. But that's where it gets hard because we don't have full-time help.
Right. Which is, we working on it right now, obviously. But I think saying that, like, I'm not leaving for actually 11 and a half weeks straight. I'm not going to be back. I'm traveling on the days off home. So I will be home once a week.
Well,
even if it's for like 16 hours, that still counts.
Well, we'll see.
What do you mean we'll see?
By the time you land and you get to hang out before Mateo goes to bed and have to take a flight the next morning before he wakes up.
Well, but it's better than nothing.
Right.
Right.
That's true.
Mean, that's something that if I'm capable and actually would be able to do,
right.
I'm willing to fly for 6 hours one way just to see Mateo for 4 hours a day.
Yeah, no, that's.
I mean, I think it's better than completely not being there for them.
I'll take that over nothing.
Right.
And, you know, everyone always, though, makes it about the dad, right? Like, well, how about the fiance that wants her?
So, you know what's interesting? Brian around. And I had a conversation about this, and Brian's like, okay. You like, what would you think would be the best? And I go, honestly, I feel like the babies need mama their first couple years of life. It's just what it is. Like, the kids just feel more attached to the mother, and we're breastfeeding, we're doing all these things. I'm like, I would have done it the way we did it with both the kids. It's like, you can continue to travel. I have to take a step back because I just feel like it's what they need.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I wouldn't have done it any differently. I wouldn't have had Brian stay home and me continue wrestling because it just wouldn't have made sense. And especially like, as moms, we're still healing from birth and then the breastfeeding. Mentally, we're trying to get our hormones back in place. So I feel like how sad it is, and it's hard in today's culture and today's world, the mom does have to take a back seat. In her career and just in life. I mean, I still look at my body at times and I'm like, damn, when are we going to get back, girl? I mean, Thanksgiving just put me months back.
Oh, you're doing good.
Well, but do you know what I mean? But I feel like I wouldn't have changed it. Like, I mean, Brian, I'll never forget, like with both kids, he had to go back on the road at 6 weeks when they're 6 weeks old and I bawled my eyes out, but you know.
Right.
Right.
No, I agree. And look, I'm very, very supportive of you and I want you to do what you love. But you know, I want to get into some questions as if we are really interviewing Artem, because I know, because you're my fiance and like Bree is your future sister-in-law, we start to have conversations with, it's great. But I also think people want to know like dreams and goals. So what's something that you really want to accomplish in 2022?
Just in that year.
Yeah, next year. So like, let's just pretend like it's New Year's Eve today and you're going to...
And you're going to say like, what do I want to do in 2022? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's a really hard question, just simply because there is so many things go through your mind that you would like to do. And I think picking just one specific thing is really, really hard. Is it like a goal like, oh, I want to get in shape? Or is it a goal like, oh, I want to get a maybe different idea of what else I can do in life?
Do you have some type of dream or something you've really wanted to do? And you're like, you know what? Next year's the year where I'm actually going to get in the coffee business. Because you talk about wanting to do coffee for a long time. Or like, I'm going to actually do some TikToks with my fiance.
Very, very sensitive subject. I'll tell you why. So love drink coffee, right? And I have a specific understanding of what I like to drink, what type of coffee, because to me, coffee is like wines for them. You know, it tastes different. Every bean tastes different. And the way you make it, it tastes different. There's the whole scientific fact to it, right? So Nicole wants me to get into the coffee business because I like coffee, right? But the thing is, I don't really know exactly what that coffee world is. So I can't just go like, I'm going to come up with the beans. I'm going to go to this company, get the beans, start selling them online. To me, this is not really like a genuine making like into the coffee business. Like, I'd love to figure it out that there is someone out there who is as passionate drinking coffee and have a better idea how I can actually be involved versus me just jumping and trying to sell the coffee beans.
I get that.
You know what I mean?
Did a bus just drive by? I think I just got pushed.
What do you mean?
What do you mean? Thrown under the bus.
Oh, no, you didn't. I was just trying to explain the audience the situation
okay,
that they don't know.
First of all, he's exaggerating. Well,
not true.
All of this came up.
I never exaggerate one bit in my
life. All of this came up
life.
Because Artem was interested in other ways of making money.
Yeah.
And I thought
right.
He's so passionate about coffee. So he would be amazing in that industry, because what I know from wine and other business ventures I've been a part of, when you're passionate about something, you become a great salesman because you believe in it. And so I'm like, Artem should be in the coffee business because he's so obsessed with coffee. He should either have a coffee shop, or I was like, I started to see a lot of people have their own bags of beans. And I'm like, Artem should have his own bags of beans. And he actually had some great conversations of people that he loved their beans.
I love that product, actually. There's one company I really, really love that
product. So, that was a very big positive that...
But it's more of a hobby for him, right? Hobby.
I mean, it is... I think drinking coffee is just like an everyday thing.
Yeah.
So it's... I mean, it is a hobby that can turn into whatever possibilities out there. But I think it's also really, really hard because you want to make sure what you're giving to the people that you're promoting is actually something you're really, really doing. Because I think nowadays people are just willing to put anything out there just to sell or just to kind of like be part of or whatever. And I think that's what scares me too. I don't want it to make it like a business out of it. I actually want to make something that does have a bigger like a bigger meaning and bigger
which is
idea.
Amazing. So then what is it? Yeah,
so
I like that.
So what is off the list? So
okay, coffee's off the list. So what else in 2022, Artem? Because we're all going to watch out. We're all going to look out for it.
So I love cooking, right?
Mm-hmm. You are.
I do love cooking. I do like to work with hands, and I do like to build, and I do love those things. Those things doesn't ever seems like take a lot of time. I can literally spend a whole day doing, like, I even the cold remembers in my old house in LA when I was doing barbecue area. I think as soon as I woke up, I was doing that, and I went to bed like trying to get shower real quick because dust and everything else. And I remember Nicole bringing me like, this is your drink, this is your food, because I even forget to do that. So I'm really passionate about that stuff. And it's not so much passion. I think it's kind of like within my family. My dad is an engineer and he built his own house and his garden. He's doing a lot of those things, especially after he retired.
Incredible.
He does all of them himself. He's pretty much sustained the whole lifestyle during the winter time because he grows vegetable in the summer, whatever that is. So I do love that. I think the hardest part is just because you're passionate about something, you also have to figure it out. Is that something that I should really invest my time into? Because being a dad, you have a lot of responsibilities, right? If I would be single and I'd be chilling on the couch, I think it would be an easy choice to make. But it's a hard choice to make because you have such a limited time and you want to make the most of it.
Right.
You know, you don't want to waste it because it's the worst thing, the wasting time, right? And I think it's. I would love to the new year in 2020 for me to actually have a better idea what I want to put myself into, what I want to spend time doing, because I want to see what it's actually going to be.
Your next chapter in life, you kind of want to know.
I guess, you can say that for sure. And I don't know if it's cooking or if it's building or if it's completely something different. But I would love to do that. I'd love to figure it out for myself because I think it would be important for the next 10 years to kind of grow and come up with something different, you know, because all I know at this point right now is how to dance and how to choreograph and how to teach, right? As you probably audience aware, athletes' lives, they're not
forever
at all, you know, like... Wow. It's the bodies, it's the younger generation coming up and do better than you, and they're much hungrier than you, and you just don't have the same drive. And I think that's what I struggled with for the last season, is the drive. I do know what needs to be done, but I feel like my drive is a little bit different. You know, it's a little bit more safe. It's not risky. And I think you can see it in my dancing and in my choreography and stuff. It's a little bit on the safer side, you know? And I don't know if it comes because
of
the
experience.
Or is
that because one of the judges said it to you and it's in your head?
No.
Because I thought your choreography was beautiful.
Yeah.
I see what he means when it's risky. Like when you take risk, I feel like younger people can come in like a ball of fire.
Yeah. They're like,
and they're going to try.
Let's go do a trick. And if it works, doesn't work. To me now, I'm just kind of like overthinking and thinking, is it smart to do? Do I have enough time to accomplish it and get it done? So I think just right now, it's like your brain start taking over your just momentum and your drive and like,
I get
this is what I want to do. And I just want to get back into that feeling. I don't want to live a life safe way because you just don't grow. You don't improve. You don't get better. You just you don't challenge yourself. And I think that's what's happened for the past year. It just I don't know. It's easier to make a safe choice because you know what's going to work.
Oh, that was super inspiring, Artem.
Oh, thanks.
I love that. I have another question for you.
Oh God.
What's your favorite memory of us?
Oh, that's what it is.
Was that a listener's question or is that your own personal?
Oh, well, I'm not going to say.
Okay.
Oh, I'm not going to say. Favorite memories of us? Well, obviously, I mean, I know Nicole might feel a little different, but to me, just even meeting, I think that was the one thing is kind of like tripped me out. And I know it's very controversial and at this point, whatever, I don't really care. But I think meeting Nicole for the first time, I actually called the executive producer right after our first meet. And I even said that, wow, this girl is absolutely incredible. I said it like, I think I'm like, in love, you know, and I don't really understand what it meant for me at the time. It's just kind of like, I don't know. It's when you meet a certain person that you kind of like, don't really understand how you feel yet. You have this like overwhelming, like a lot of feelings and you don't know how to cope with it. And you don't know like what to do with it. And you're just trying to manage as much as you can in the best way you can. And again, look, I'm not perfect, obviously. But yeah, I think that was the time where I was like, wow, it just kind of like hit me. Even like speaking right now, but I'm thinking I'm sweating.
You are. Yeah. I was like, wow, so, his back is sweating really bad. Yeah. Oh, can I
have
a kiss for
that? It's not that it's hot hair or
something. That was so cute. And then I kicked your ass in the ring. How fun was that?
Oh my gosh.
That's probably add to it.
You
know,
gotta take a body slam, right?
Well, yes,
no,
that was before.
Second,
no, that was after.
That was when they then wanted us to do it in front of Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
But the time Artem's saying is when I did not know who I was meeting. And literally they go, when Artem walks through this curtain, they're going to hit my music and I'm actually going to then just do my entrance. Like they built it all day. It was crazy. So when Artem walks through the curtain, they hit my music, Bree, just how I do it. So I walk out on the ramp and I do this. And then I like look over at him. And then, you know, when I do rip my shirt. So as I rip my shirt walking down the ramp, I like chuck it and hit him in the face. And Artem's like, what is this?
Imagine.
And then I did my backflip and I did my full on entrance. And that's how we met. And then he got in the ring. And then the producers were like, hey, can you throw him around?
Oh my gosh, poor Artem.
Bree, I arm dragged him. I chucked him. Well, I didn't chuck him, but I pushed him into the turnbuckle and I started kicking him.
Like, I like this.
And then he told me how to
salsa. It was very different. It was very different, you know, from the usual first meet. We shake hands and talk about what would you like to accomplish?
That
it was like
hilarious.
A lot of beating happening.
Yeah.
That time, so.
It was fun. Oh, I remember that moment so well. And it's on the internet somewhere, actually.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Because they actually never ended up playing
They never even aired it because WWE was like, we need something that looks way more elevated because we were in a training facility.
Oh, that's right.
We were in one of the Usos' dads.
Okay.
Little, the place, because it's outside of LA and they do tiny shows, you know, a school. Mm-hmm. So they literally built this mini stage, but there was no lights, like not like us. And when WWE saw it, they're like, no, they need to come to Monday Night Raw and we'll do it there.
I get that.
Oh, Artem and I were actually very happy because it's just, we knew for our package, it was going to be even better.
Right.
And just to have that moment. And it was really fun for me to like be in front of the crowd and then body slam him. I loved it.
Jeez. So. And then you took an arm drag in the first dance.
Oh, I did. I think
that was more a slam than a drag.
It was like a slam. Yeah. And the thing is with people in the room is like, I don't really know how to wrestle at all. And you also have to understand, and I don't know if something I can speak or not, but on the actual wrestling ring, it's quite bouncy. So it's quite nice when you land.
Yes, we don't break our backs.
Right? Remember, it's a hardwood floor when you dance. So that flip, and also mind you, so we have to rehearse that. It's not like we can just like, okay, you're just going to flip me and it's done.
Oh my gosh.
We've done it for like multiple times.
But we started with pads.
We did. Right, pads.
Yeah. Man, and I slammed him hard the night of the show just because I knew I had to go full out.
No, you did. You could hear it. Like,
and oh, yeah.
His whole body crushed on the.
It legitimately hurt.
Whoa.
Like, it actually did hurt.
Texas Pete is a sauce that allows you to sauce like you mean it. It's generosity in its simplest form, and it's a swagger people have who know what's good.
That's right. Each Texas Pete sauce is packed with bold, balanced flavor.
The signature tanginess is what makes it a legendary hot sauce that can be used on just about anything.
It has been at the center of dinner tables since 1929 and is still heating things up today.
Oh, yeah. And you know, you're definitely going to want to try every flavor.
The original hot sauce has a famous secret blend of fermented peppers.
The hotter hot sauce is 3 times hotter than the original and not for the faint of heart.
Sabor by Texas Pete adds authentic Mexican flavor.
Yum, and their dust dry seasoning matches the flavor of the original hot sauce and a flavorful dry rub.
It's just making my mouth water thinking about it. I mean, I'm always reaching for the Texas Pete.
I think we put it on our breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
We really do.
We actually even sneak hot sauce in our purses, so if restaurants don't have hot sauce, we put it on.
Texas Pete goes with me everywhere I go.
Texas Pete, sauce like you mean it.
Visit TexasPete.com and use the store locator to find Texas Pete products as well as purchase sauces and get recipe inspiration.
And use the promo code PODCAST24 for 20% off at TexasPete.com.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals.
Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week.
I mean, what are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals.
Factor's ready-to-eat meals are on the table in 2 minutes.
And eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simple heat and savor the good stuff.
Customize your weekly meals with as much as or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking.
They're celebrating Earth Day all month long, which I love. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals.
Okay, so I keep Factor meals in my fridge. It literally is, just like they say, you put it in there for 2 minutes and it's having a home-cooked meal. Plus, they have all the nutrients on it, the calories. It's been amazing. Mom was over. I was giving Mom Factor meals. She was obsessed with it.
The one thing I have definitely noticed is that when I want to be really, really healthy, I think, oh, just eat super little. But no, Factor meals shows you, you can eat a good size meal with all the nutrients and still be healthy.
And it's for every type of person. It fits every type of diet.
Yes. So head to factormeals.com/twins50 and use code twins50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month.
That's code twins50 at factormeals.com/twin50. 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Warning, things are about to get intense.
I mean, Brie and I are talking like that intense moment when the room stops, maybe time stops, when everything might be going around you, but you're looking at that one person dead in the eyes, or a maple donut in our eyes.
Usually I'm giving that stare down when I want to ask my husband for his credit card so I can go shopping.
Ooh, that is the intense that I like. Intense heat, lasting plump.
From the hot new Lifter Plump from Maybelline, New York.
Formulated with chili pepper, Lifter Plump delivers a heated sensation for an instant lip plumping effect that lasts.
Available in 8 sizzling shades. Blush, Blaze, Red Flag, Hot Honey, Coco Zing, and many more.
And you know me with that red, nothing like a red flag on my sizzling lips.
Oh, we know it, girl. Can you take that heat? Find your shade at Maybelline.com or a retailer near you.
Amazon shoppers get 10% off Lifter Plump purchase with code 10PLUMP for a limited time.
All right, everyone. So we're back and Brie is missing because Buddy woke up and it's just us three. Mateo's still sleeping. We love to leave with some inspiration and affirmation. And so we would love for you to tell us about a quote that has inspired, motivated, or changed you.
God, I'm going to be so boring about this. I think the only one quote that I live by most of my life and most of my career is a really simple one. Hard work pays off. So I think nowadays it's something that I think is missing a lot because I think kids in general think that they can become these stars and celebrities overnight. We can go and like do TikTok videos and, you know, like and stuff like that. And the thing is, what I feel about it, as much as I don't quite understand that world, and I think I never will, because I always feel that you have to work really hard for something to get back, you know? And I think that's how you have like a much longer longevity of life. Because if you overnight success, it could also be gone overnight. And if you work really, really hard towards the career you want to achieve or towards like a goal you have in life, I think that's what's going to make your life more consistent and successful too. Yeah. But I think it's the best code for that I would give to absolutely anyone. You know, yeah. If you have a dream, if you have a goal, work hard for it. Because you know what? If you do that, everything is possible.
And I agree. And that is so how you're, even when I think of your season of dancing, you are all about that mindset. Hard work pays off. And it most certainly does. And whatever you do, hey, TikTok's hard. You're just getting old. All right. Well, Artem, thank you so much for coming on the show. I love you so much. We need to have you again because I feel like there's just so much we can always talk about and there's just never enough time.
Never enough time.
Yeah. And next time we won't have to talk about dancing. We'll just talk all about you.
Okay.
All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode and we cannot wait to talk to you all next week.
What do you mean next week? Oh, you're going to talk to them next week. I say
you're going
to talk to me next week. I was like,
no.
What do you mean? Am I coming back?
I just like looking into your eyes. Oh. I will catch up with all of you, our listeners, on the Bellas podcast next week.
Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' cold K-Cup pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.